Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Share with me a visit to a pontifical institute which comes under the Congregation of Catholic Education. Without giving too much away, its patron saint is St. Damasus, a pope who lived in the second half of the 4th century and whose feast day is celebrated on the 11th of December each year, and is considered to be the first Christian archaeologist for the simple reason that he took care of the tombs of the early saints and Christian martyrs in the catacombs. Stay tuned as I call in there. I spent much of my childhood in Rome, breathing in the spirit of ancient ruins, balancing my little legs atop Roman aqueducts, wriggling my way into dark, damp tunnels clutching torches, or walking my Wellington boots through muddy fields where ancient Roman emperors once lived. All places where my father, who had a particular interest in archaeology, told stories of past glory, extolling the virtues of these ruins and the people who'd built them all those centuries ago. The syndrome is a catching one, and to this day I have an amateurish interest in the field, an interest easy enough to kindle in Rome. I mean, ancient Rome is still there, around us. We cannot fail to notice it, everywhere. We know, too, that we trample all over it underfoot each day. Even in the most unlikely places, like near Rome's train station, in a building which houses an Institute of Christian Archaeology, a pontifical institute. A massive early 20th century building which stands over a riot of Roman ruins, as photographs pinned on the walls of a corridor inside the Institute well witness. I discovered them when I went there on a quest to find out more about what seemed to me a mysterious place. Not that I was going to take my torch with me and investigate the ruins that lie underneath the building, but more simply to be enlightened on what goes on in this exclusive place. The only place in the world where classical archaeologists, Christians and non-Christians alike, can obtain a doctorate in Christian archaeology. And so it was that I found myself hopping down from the tram, crossing the tracks, climbing a flight of stairs to meet a person who knows this all too well. Simply because, like many of the students in the Institute today, he too had travelled to Rome from a faraway country, in his case Sweden, with a degree in classical archaeology in his pocket, to further studies in Christian archaeology. Tackling subjects with obscure names, such as hagiography, topography of the Orbis Christianus Anticus, petrology, and Christian iconography. This archaeologist's name is Olaf Brandt, and he's currently the secretary of this pontifical institute. I had an appointment with him, but I hate to say I got lost in the building. And when I spied a plaque on the wall which read Pontifical Commission of Sacred Art, I thought to myself, ah, that's it. Wrong, I was told. This was not the Institute of Christian Art I was looking for. Here, they told me, we deal with catacombs. Their excavation, their restoration. They told me proudly that they preceded the Pontifical Institute of Christian Art. We were founded, they said, by Blessed Pius IX in the mid-19th century, who was inspired by the discovery of an eminent scholar by the name of Giovanni Battista de Rossi, a gentleman who once worked in the Vatican Library and was an expert in ancient inscriptions. One who, as people like to tell, was ambling around in a vineyard on the Appian Way one day and tripped over a marble plaque which bore an inscription, which would lead him to the spectacular discovery of many Christian catacombs. Including those of San Callisto, and later on to the tombs of the 3rd century popes. A key figure, this Giovanni Battista de Rossi, I thought to myself, one whom I suspected would provide me with the missing link between the Pontifical Commission and the Institute. And when I eventually tracked down Olaf Brandt, I received this confirmation.
Giovanni Battista de Rossi and his disciples created a very important tradition of scholarship, so to say, but in an informal way. Generations later, Pope Pius XI in the 1920s decided, so to speak, to formalize this tradition of research and to create this institute. So this institute is the continuation of the tradition from De Rossi and his excavations in the Roman catacombs in the 19th century. So that was how it all began.
What we are doing today is in keeping with the beginnings of that widespread interest in the evidence of faith dating back to the mid-19th century, Olaf Brandt told me as he proudly showed me around the Institute, past the rather grand double staircase with its odd but interesting collection of pot plants, haphazardly placed on marble banisters, past the huge photograph of Pius XI, the Pope of the 20th century who was their founder, and I should add ours here at the radio. Evidence of faith Olaf Brandt described in minute detail.
The importance given to early Christian archaeology in the 1920s by Pius XI, I think it has to do with the importance in the 19th and 20th century of a widespread desire to go back to early Christianity, to drink from the sources. From the texts of the early Christian writers, but also to find inspiration and traces of the first Christians, their life and their faith, their symbols, their art in the catacombs. The earliest Christian churches, their shape and disposition. How did the first Christian generation celebrate their liturgy? How did they celebrate Mass? How did they celebrate the memory of their dead? How did they celebrate the memory of saints, of the martyrs? Where did they meet on Sundays? How did they baptize their children? All these questions, for a lot of people in the 19th century, in the 20th century and still today, are not only academic questions, but they are questions which have to do with us today. But we want to know how they did, because then we can compare that with how we live and see how they lived their faith in their context and see if we can get some inspiration for how we live our faith in our context today. That could be, shall we say, the point of view of faith in this research.
Having been enlightened on the aspect of faith, I wondered about the scientific aspect. Archaeology is, after all, a science.
In archaeology, we find the traces of the events of the past, but the material traces, stones, walls, paintings, and whatever. And there are very particular modern scientific methods of dealing with this material. I mean, we are not just collecting items or objects which we find interesting. We are doing scientific research on them. And as always in scientific research, we are also prepared to find surprises, not to find always what we expected or what we would like to find. I mean, that's part of the scientific aspect.
Have a scientific approach at the service of faith, then, here in particular?
No. You have a scientific approach at the service of truth. Because if you have faith or if you have religious interests, that's a way to search for, to approach truth. And on that way, it's important for you to know how other people have lived the same experience in the past. And what you need to know about them is the truth. And that is the same truth which is important for believers and non-believers for different reasons.
As you've just heard, Olaf Brandt's reaction to my question regarding faith was pretty blunt and opened up a scenario I hadn't really envisaged when entering this pontifical institute.
So you don't have to be Christian to study early Christian archaeology. And as a matter of fact, I think it's very important and interesting to stress that we often have Muslim students who come from countries in the southern or eastern part of the Mediterranean where they have very important archaeological remains of early Christianity, churches and other structures like that. Muslim students from Jordania, for instance, and from other countries where they do their best to take care also of the early Christian monuments. I think that's a very important aspect of what we are doing.
No doubt Christians and non-Christians alike are fascinated by the symbols of early Christian art.
In the Roman catacombs from the 3rd century, we find the earliest preserved Christian art in the entire world. It has a very particular value and importance because it's the first Christian art which we know about. And what is so striking is that it is an entirely symbolic art. It is not an art which depicts the historical scenes in the Gospels, for instance, Jesus preaching, his crucifixion and resurrection, but symbolic figures and episodes. The most important of all symbols is the Good Shepherd, which, of course, is a symbol of Christ. Christ himself described himself as the Good Shepherd. And this is something which has much to do with how Christians, but also Jews in antiquity, were used to reading the biblical texts in a symbolic way. They were interested in the historical sense of these texts, but what was more interesting for them was to find in every text something which reminded them of the central ideas of their faith. So any episode, any scene, any book in the Bible could remind you of Jesus Christ, of his death, of his resurrection, of salvation offered to mankind through the sacraments and through baptism and through faith. And that is what you find in this early Christian art.
Symbolic art, then, is a source of inspiration for the Christian believer. But Olaf Brandt warns, never to be studied exclusively from a Christian perspective.
We must never study this only from a Christian point of view. We must also study the context and the interaction between the Christians and their society, because otherwise we can never understand anything of relevance for the interaction today between Christians and today's society. We should never imagine the early Christian culture or society as a closed society. The early Christians were in contact and interaction with other groups. They were always other believers. For some periods, the Christians were a minority. There were the persecutions. Then Christianity became the majority religion, but there were always other groups and were always tensions and interactions between Christianity, other religious believers, political power, other tendencies in culture and society. And it's very important to understand the entire cultural context to understand what really happened. I think that today we are taking great steps forward, because today, for the first time in many generations, we begin to be able to study the early Christian heritage, the early Christian archaeology, together with the rest of the society of that period. The problem is that classical archaeology and Christian archaeology have been divided, but they were really part of the same society. They lived together, they knew each other, they met each other on the street every day. So it's absurd to have different institutions, different scholars studying these different parts. It's not absurd because we always need specializations, we always need experts on everything. But there has been for many generations the tendency to take for granted that Christianity was not part of antiquity. That is, if you find a Christian monument, an early Christian church in Rome, that's not part of the classical archaeology of Rome. If you come to Rome as a tourist and you buy one of these big maps of ancient Rome, which seem to be so scientific, They give you all the classical monuments and buildings of Rome. But then if you study it carefully from a scientific point of view, and you see what they have depicted on this map, you find out that they have eliminated all the Christian monuments. For instance, the usual tourist maps of the archaeological classical Rome state that they show Rome as it was under the Emperor Constantine. And they have the triumphal arch of Constantine, they have the baths of Constantine, but they don't show St. Peter's Basilica. They don't show the Lateran Basilica. They don't show other Christian buildings built by the same emperor, because they were Christian monuments. And they are not there. They have disappeared. So for many generations, we had this segregation, so to speak. Not only tourists and, so to speak, normal people, but also the scholars themselves didn't manage to imagine the ancient Rome with pagans and Christians side by side. For some reason, that was impossible. Now we are beginning to make progress in this sense, and we have more collaboration between scholars working with early Christian archaeology and classical archaeology. But for many generations, there have been a wall between them.
Our thanks there go to the Secretary of the Pontifical Institute of Christian Archaeology, Dr. Olaf Brandt. Thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.